I ran marketing departments in corporate America for 10 years and then ran a digital agency for over another 10 years. So I know the roadmap to online success, and that formula always includes producing content to share your message, from your marketing message to sales and delivery. Hi, I'm Jennifer Neal, and you're listening to The Content Toolbox. I believe the secret to finding and creating raving fans online is through you. In building relationships through stories that share who you really are, create genuine, crazy, raving fans that keep begging you to take their money. And on this podcast, we'll be talking strategies, tactics, tips, and more with myself and other industry experts. So buckle up and start your engines, because it's go time.
All right, welcome back, you guys, to another episode of the Content Toolbox. Today, I have with me Mr. Matt Decino. And let me tell you what, you guys, we were just talking right before recording here, and literally, Matt and I are like living these parallel lives for the last 10 years and have been in these like parallel circles. And it's so cool what he's going to be sharing with you guys. So, welcome, Matt.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Very fun.
Awesome. All right. So I know that we just kind of went through a little bit of your bio when we were talking before here, but tell us like what you're doing and kind of how you got there.
Yeah, that's great. So right now, day to day is I run a agency, a marketing, digital marketing agency. And I've grown it. So we got a team of about 20 and a little over 20. Got a team of 20. And so every morning for about 15 minutes, I see them all. And then the rest of the day, I'm usually doing stuff like this. But so that's kind of how my time is occupied. But so we focus on helping, you know, we call it like best kept secrets become category kings. And so really helping people refine their systems, their processes, their marketing, so that they're loud about the problems they solve. And people want to do business with them before they even, you know, start talking with them. So that's the world that I get to live in day to day.
I love it. So a couple of notes. You guys all know that I got tired of the agency model and wanted out because it was difficult for me to scale. So bow down to you, Matt, for having 20 people on staff and so successfully running an agency. I love that.
It's not for the faint of heart.
It is not.
I tell my wife it's because I'm totally an extrovert. And so I just genuinely love the team. Like I actually do. I mean, hopefully none of my team listens. I love them all, but I understand like so many people like create this fantasy environment out of growing whatever this thing is. I mean, this is, we didn't expect to go this way, but I think there's such power and saying for yourself where you want to go and don't let other people decide where you should go. And so yeah. I definitely see some folks who kind of judge themselves for like not going to whatever the level is, not being a seven-figure agency or making this amount of money or growing the size of a team. But I'll tell you, there were points where it probably would have been healthier and more satisfying. You know, I love where we're at and what we're doing, but like I know a lot of very cool people who have maybe more time, more freedom, and you know, just as much cash in the bank and do a very different type of business. So it's not the only way.
Yeah, but you're totally right. You really have to love what you do. So as long as you're happy and fulfilled, like that's what matters, right?
No, that's exactly it.
Awesome. Okay. So I know, so Matt and I were talking here a little bit before we started recording. And so you mentioned a kind of new content project that you're working on and you just open looped me and got me all sorts of hooked.
So we were talking about how to do content early on. And so this is a strategy we're doing right now that I think could be very easily bootstrapped. Because it's interesting, like we, you know, it's unfair to say, here's part of our content strategy, you know, spend $30,000 a month on running ads where you're just putting your content in front of people. Done. You know, how do you do that when you're a person of one and you know, don't have the volume there. And so, and interestingly, we diversify everything we're trying to do. And so this is one that we've been doing, which is, I like it because it's more connected, it's more personalized and it's one that I think for someone starting off, they could really activate a VA to do. And some of that's the hardest thing sometimes is hiring a first employee or delegating something. What am I going to delegate? So you could DIY it or hire a VA. So we have for years, and I still believe there's such power in Facebook groups. And surely there's a, you know, there's other strategies where people go and like have a VA PM people or DM people. That's not what we're doing. But what we do is part of our content strategy, we did an interview, multiple interviews with the kind of like the group owner or the group founder or like the, you know, the people who are in charge of the group. And so we had this great content. It's on their YouTube channel. It's on our YouTube channel. And it showcases, you know, us as part of the community and really establishes us as kind of like a leader in the community, even though it's just like a one-time thing that happened. And usually you do content like this and you see like there's a lift. There's a boost, right? It gets published. There's a lot of, you know, juice around the moment when it gets published. And then it just kind of fades away, you know, but especially when it's video, it's evergreen. Like, and usually there's a longer life to it than just the launch. And so what we do now is we have VAs. It might sounding creepy in my mind. It's not creepy. When new people get added to the group, they have a task to go. And honestly, like sleuth on all of the new people. So use all these tools that you can do to find their email, find the business they're working for, and like create a list, a spreadsheet of as much information as we can know about them. And then we shoot them an email that is just like showcasing the give that we gave as part of that group and kind of like a freebie. Right. And so what it's turned into is like our best content that was like super rich, establishes us as kind of an authority in the space, turns evergreen because for that person coming in, they're brand new. They don't know who's going on or what's happening. And even though group, you know, leaders and facilitators keep on doing, you know, these like, they're doing interviews all the time and there's different people they might be highlighting. This allows us to kind of always be, you know, kind of top of mind for people who are new coming into the group. And it's something we have VAs and it's working very, very well for us. I will say it's gotta, if you're going to do this, come from a place of giving for it to work at all.
Right.
And maybe I should also tell you like our approach for anything, giving value introduction. If someone asks you like, hey, what do you do? There's a 4-part formula we adapted from StoryBrand, and this will help to give a little bit of context around like, if you're going to do cold outreach, right? And that's what it is. It's absolutely cold outreach. How do you do cold outreach that isn't horrible and people aren't like, you know, just block right away, right? Because, you know, I kind of just told you a little bit of the tactics. Hey, look and see who's new. Like find all their information by Googling them or using these kind of like matching, you know, names and emails and cities and whatever else. So you have their email and we don't do cold tests, but you have an email. It might be a business email, it might be a personal email, and you can cold email them.
Right.
How do you do it in such a way that they're not like, this is horrible? And so a helpful story is over the summer, we had water damage. Hot water burst and bled through into like the dining room, and we have wood floors and it ruined the floors. And so, at the time we had like a 5-month-old and I was like, you gotta be kidding me. So we had all this water damage. They come out, they start chopping up the wood floor. And of course, like you can never match wood. I didn't know this, but like, you know, once you do it, it's never going to be matched again. You have to do the whole thing, everything. So we had to redo the whole house. It was surprisingly difficult to find like a person who does wood flooring. Like I was like desperate. Here I was in this state of distress. I need someone to give me quotes on like new wood floors. Like I had nowhere to look. We're in the middle of like, you know, lockdown in California. And I'm like, I need something, you know? And if someone at that moment had cold emailed me and said, hey, Matt, you know, we help people who've had water damage, you know, we'll come out and give them an assessment. It only takes an hour. We're totally COVID friendly. We'll give you, you know, we supply every type of wood possible and we can install it in, you know, 2 weeks flat time. You know, let me know if you'd be interested. I'd be like, thank you, Jesus. This is exactly what I needed, right? This was the perfect intersection of like pain and payoff and the product that connected those two. And so that's what we try to do as well, is try to identify the people that we're reaching out to, are they likely in a state of pain, so that we're actually a solution. We're actually a godsend at the moment of cold introduction. Yeah. And this is something that I think a lot of people struggle with. And so are you familiar with StoryBrand? It sounded like you.
Oh yeah, I totally am. Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, his one liner, right? And I don't know if he even says it exactly like this, but this is what I've kind of adapted as is like person, pain, product, payoff.
Yep.
I think that, is that the four, right? Yeah, so same kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I like his example and frame around it because it's very kind of like story driven. And so if someone said like, oh, hey, what do you do? You say like, well, you know how businesses, you know, struggle with, and I'll be more specific because the more specific it is. Let's imagine you're a real estate agent. Well, you know how real estate agents struggle with tire kickers who are always just trying to get a low price listing and just wasting their time. We've got a service that automatically turns all of their past clients into raving reviews. So they have amazing reputation. They look like the category king. So people want to do business with them before they even start talking to them.
Sign me up.
No, exactly. Everyone's like, how much does it cost? Right. And so that's the, that's kind of how we do our cold introduction too, of like, well, you know how person happens to be you deals with like this super painful problem. They're likely dealing with it. We've got this product that delivers this payoff.
Yeah.
And we talk about it on this video. And so that's kind of, you know, one way that we repurpose great content and turn it into evergreen, because for the next person, it's just as potent as it was for the first person.
Yeah. That is so genius. So a couple of questions. The group that you're talking about, are you talking about a Facebook group or do you
yes.
have
like, okay. Yeah, it's a Facebook group. And so okay. I'll say that like we have our own Facebook group. I mean, that's a good thing to have too. It's like you've got, you know, groups that you own, traffic that, well, even that kind right. of traffic that you own. But this is something we do totally behind the scenes. We're just a face in the crowd. And, but anybody in any group that you're in, if you're in a group where you're solving a problem for the people that are also in that group, right. It's a great way to, be resourceful, you know, and, yep. And it's interesting how that cold outreach, like I said, doesn't have to be bad. Like cold yeah. outreach can absolutely be a total godsend to that person if it's that right time, right? Where they're in pain and you are the problem solver. And so that's what we try to do. And so we're not just, you know, you're not just sending cold DMs that are like, hey, how's your business doing?
yeah.
You know, people do it. People try, right? So it's like, you know, I appreciate the hustle, but if, you know, like, so in order, what do? We got, evergreen content
yeah.
that positioned us as an authority figure. Why? Cause we're by association. We went straight to the person, to the top, to the reason that they're there. And they attribute like, oh, they're connected to that person. They must be like, that's the legit, that's the internet stranger test. Are you just some weirdo online, right? It's like, oh no, you're legit. Okay. You've got some authority there. And then we make sure we package it in a way, use that, you know, how person has this pain. We've got this product that gives you this payoff. And so they're kind of like, and then the next step for us is just, we'll watch the video and,
yeah.
and it's a very low call to action, but this is something we've done and implemented that is reaping huge results. And is just a little bit of ingenuity. Like honestly,
oh, yeah.
this actually is way better ROI than our ads, which is funny. It just took some resourcefulness.
Because your investment is not that heavy. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so but even like the time and the team, like even the, yeah. So like even yeah. investing in a VA, which, you know, that's the other thing. People you get a full-time employee part of your team for $500 a month.
I know. It's crazy. Right. And they're amazing people. Like, yeah, you can get some awesome work done.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a couple of things in there I just want to point out as well, just to make it like super crystal clear, is that one, you're talking about it being evergreen content, right? Which totally is, but I'm all the time talking about repurposing content. Well, you're repurposing it. You're not changing the media or the format. You're just changing the delivery, which is another way of repurposing content, right?
You don't exactly.
Turn it into a blog post or an ebook or like whatever. No, you're just like, here's the same thing, but you're changing the audience. So you're still like repurposing that. I love that. Genius idea. Love it.
Yeah.
And also like there are so many people who are offended by being stalked with cookies, you know, by ads and like, oh, well, it's so funny. I finally, I just redid my office here And I was like, I am totally going to get, and I don't even want to say it, but like the Amazon device, right? And my husband's like, no, we're not having one of those in our house. And I'm like, kind of already do. Like, yeah, it's already here, right? And so there's a lot of trepidation, I think, around that. All of the information, personal information we have that's stored online, and the fact that you are finding and using that information in, to be noted, an ethical and legitimate way, I think is really, it says a lot.
Well, and this is an interesting space, because when you talk about, I mean, I'm sure some people, I wouldn't be surprised, are like, ooh, that feels a little bit weird, right? It feels a little bit like stalkerish. It absolutely matters. Like, the intent, the heart behind it does matter in this case, right? So, and this is another thing I've talked about, is like strategic partnerships, right? In the same way that, like, for these folks, this is like, it's funny, at the early stages of any meaningful relationship, if you remove the heart from it, it feels creepy, right? Let me tell you, my wife, you know, before she was my wife and before we were even dating, like, did I like coordinate it so we could, you know, be in the same, take the same class at the same time? Like, yeah. Was I like, I could have chosen anything. I could have been like, well, I could take classroom A or classroom B. She's in classroom B. I want to, you know, get to know her. So I'm going to choose to go to classroom B. Right. So it's like, if you just pull it back, like, oh, that's kind of creepy. You're kind of stalking her. You're choosing to be in the same places. Or like, well, I would have never even gotten to know her. There would have never been a conversation. There would have never been this relationship that grew into like this amazing family. And so it's helpful to like give yourself permission to be human. Like, it's person to person in that kind of way. And then also, I challenge people, is like, do you believe in your product, right? If I had the cure for cancer, would you say, oh my gosh, it's so creepy that you went out there to try and find all the people who had cancer to let them know you have the cure for cancer? Like, should I have like hidden it under, like, just set up a little lemonade stand on my block and only people that drove by my street would find out here was the cure for cancer, right? So if it actually solves a very real problem and a felt problem, I mean, this is like people who kind of adopt the mindset of selling is serving. Like, honestly, yeah, then selling is serving. And yeah, it's part of the growth and development. I think a lot of people in the, you know, early stages can feel ashamed of selling, or maybe have imposter syndrome and don't feel like they actually have good to put out there. And so my caveat is like, make sure you're putting good, like you're actually solving problems. And then when you are, use every God-given skill and ingenuity that you have to reach as many people as you can. Because they honestly thank you for it. Like, back to my example, if someone had reached out to me with a cold email about, you know, doing, I would have said, oh my gosh, thank you. It would have saved me weeks. It's surprising how hard it is to find, like, I couldn't even find anyone who does wood flooring. It was weird. So, you wouldn't like, don't be a best kept secret. We don't need more best kept secrets. Like, make it easy for me to find how awesome you are. Like, I don't want to struggle to find the person that can solve my problems. And we all kind of probably resonate with that on some level.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. And I think also part of the reason that, that some of the cold outreach works, not only are you like figuring out where they're at and what their pain is, but you're trying to hit them at exactly that right moment, which is perfect, but you're also following that story framework. And in essence, what you are doing is you're still, so it's not just like, it's not the standard, like, we help who accomplish what by this, right? You're actually turning it into kind of a story format.
And it's a story about them.
Yeah, it's a story about them. So they're the hero. You're like, you've done everything right about that. And that's, I think, also what really helps people connect emotionally, because it all comes back to story, you guys. I'm not the only one saying this.
It works because it works. Because it works. Now, I love it. I love when you mentioned like the repurposing, because this is absolutely a great example of how we repurpose something. Yeah. It didn't have, I mean, technically, like, all content, unless you're like on Clubhouse, is evergreen, right? Like, or if it's some recording, you could turn it into an evergreen use. And it's just I love the mindset of repurposing, because otherwise you can get exhausted feeling like you always have to chase one more thing, right? That's why so many people, I mean, if there's hope for anyone, I am personally bad at publishing. Personally bad at, which is like crazy. You're like, Matt, how can you, whatever, do all this stuff and run this company and be bad at publishing? You're like, well, I don't know. I shouldn't accept that. I should. And this is what I say is I'm continuously trying to get better at it, right? Like I'm out there trying to be bad at it long enough to get less bad at it. I'm definitely better than I used to be, but I'm not exceptional at it. But that's why we find it's like the 80-20 principle. Like those, sometimes it's the right amount of content repurposed 1,000 times mm-hmm. gets you the same results as like one piece of content, like or 1,000 new pieces of content. So
yeah,
you always want to be publishing because that's the heart of being loud about the problem that you solve and not being a best kept secret. But this is another point of leverage. So you don't always have to wake up every week and think like, what do I need to do this week so that people know that I exist?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's, I mean, probably I haven't even, that would be a good, interesting thing to figure out, but like, I would guess that probably 10 pieces of content would be all that you would really need to just keep repurposing in different ways, evergreen it, you know, different media formats. And like, I mean, that's it. Like,
this is super, yeah, this is another thing that's, it's kind of part of our strategy, right? It's just understanding someone comes in and it's day one for them. And yeah. So like architecting the relationship, which I understand, it's back to that thing of like, it's not meant to be creepy. It's meant to be like intentional of like, that's how we serve. Like think about this. Disney, I love Disney.
Oh, yes.
They orchestrate everything. Like it's not by accident that people are placed where they're placed. It's not by accident that they greet you the way that they greet you. It's not by accident that like the character is here at this moment and the character is there at that moment, right? They are designing a great experience, right? And if I pulled out the heart of it, I'd be like, this is super weird. I like, this is kind of like something out of, what's that movie? Like where the whole world is fake with Jim Carrey.
Oh yeah. Truman
Show. Yes. Yes. So you'd be like, you pull the heart out of it. Like if someone just landed at Disneyland, they'd be like, this is like the Truman Show. Like this is a fake world.
Yeah.
This is ironic timing. Hopefully, I don't know if you can hear in the background. They're redoing my roof right now because of the wind damage. And I didn't know they were going to be doing it right now. So this is brilliant. But it's yes. Like without the heart, you'd be like, Disneyland is like the Truman Show. This is so weird. You can be on that, like the heart matters. And so in the same way, why not have the same heart for like your prospective customers, like thoughtfully thinking through, hey, if I know this is a great first date, like I'm going to make sure everybody has a great initial experience, right? This is the thought process in funnels in general, but now you can think of it in like content and messaging to make it so that you're going to get more people to the place that they wanted to be anyways.
Yep,
like
yep.
To a place where their problems are solved. And so if you're an ethical service provider, be as strategic, be as effective as you possibly can be, because the world needs more ethical service providers.
That is so true. Amen to that. Okay, Matt. So you're talking about this group and people coming in. So what are the qualifications for the group, or can we send other people to go check this group out, and where do they go?
Oh, my group?
Yeah.
Mine is a paid only group. So I apologize. That's not for you guys. But maybe someday it is. So I don't like, I'd say like this too. Like that is, it's a good idea. Some people say like, it's great to have a free Facebook group, probably because of stuff like this. Like there should be a place. Hey, if you just want to hang out with me and see more of what I'm doing, yeah, that'd be great. I have chosen to focus my time only on people who are already in our ecosystem. Here's what I, would say, if you want to see more of what I'm doing, one, firstnamelastname.com. You can definitely find out more of what I'm doing there. And I'm going to make sure I give Jen some goodies. So like, I'm thinking like I was, we didn't have a lot of time to talk about this, but I was in a mastermind with Julie Stoian, and she had me share kind of from an agency perspective. It works for anybody though, how we do strategic partnerships. It is a little bit more of a human intentional orchestrated way. But that's honestly, I feel like it's the most effective way. And that's another thing that I think would be invaluable for anybody at any stage for how do you, instead of selling 100 different people, you could sell one person who sends you 100 of your best fit customers, right? And so going a little bit up the traffic ladder, especially when you're strapped for time, strapped for, you know, money and energy, it is actually easier to sell one person who has the attention of and the respect and the trust of 100 of your best fit customers. And so I will, I think I'll give you that to add to the toolbox. And so you could, people can watch it right in there and kind of see our perspective and our take on how we do strategic partnerships.
Awesome. Score one for the toolbox. That's awesome. Thanks, Matt. Okay. Well, I know we are coming up, running up on time here, but is there anything else that you want to share before we go or any other place that people should engage with you?
I mean, I'm always, like I said, I'm a total extrovert. If you want to reach out, I've had people DM me on Instagram or on Facebook. It's also just my name, first name, last name, Matt Tesino. Always happy to chat. And honestly, I hop on calls all the time now with people of a range of business experience. I'm not like a business coach. I'm honestly just in the world. I'm a teacher. I'm actually a professor of marketing at a university teaching undergrads. And that's, let me tell you, that is it's basically like volunteering. But that's like, I honestly do this because I have a heart for it. Like I love helping people. If you're an ethical business, an ethical business owner, ethical service provider, I love helping the world have more of them and more of them being loud, because sometimes it's this paradox of like your kind of slimy business folks who are bad at delivery can be loud and the people who are great at delivery are really quiet. And I really would love to see those tables shift. And so more people didn't have to go searching for best kept secrets. It was just very obvious and evident. So I'm always happy to chat.
Awesome. Well, and I know that there are several other topics that we kind of touched on, so we may have to have Matt back on another episode.
I'd be happy to.
All right. Well, thanks so much for your time. It was awesome to have you here. And you guys make sure that you go check out the amazing video that Matt is going to share for us in the Content Toolbox resource area. So, all right. Thanks so much, Matt. And we will probably be seeing you on another episode.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to it.
Awesome. Thanks.